Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. Today we're talking about the Black Panther, the Thor Ragnarok, the Captain Marvel, the Deadpool, the Cable, and the Guardians, and just to sit right there, we're gonna be right back and we'll tell you all about it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Jello pudding, kids want
I wasn't trying to be Cosby.
There's some Cosby flavor.
New dude again.
Yeah. Jazz
there was
radio.
A hint of sweater. There was, well, I felt the sweater forming.
Welcome to the storm.
Welcome to the storm.
The symbiotic sweater was talking, coming over you.
Talking about Deadpool. Talking about... Yeah, that's like... Bing Crosby is like a character I've always wanted to try and do.
Bing Crosby? Crosby? Yeah. Or Bill Cosby?
Bing.
Ah. Bing. See, I was going Bing Cosby.
No, I know you were.
Because you made these waters, now I'm worried about drinking them.
Oh, oh my god.
Sir!
Wait, this
oh,
is
oh, dark.
This
is, no, this is too dark. Kevin Feige said we're not going down the R-rated.
Welcome. This is how we're starting.
Wow.
Hold your misties close.
Oh my goodness. All right. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 127, coming to you live from Wakanda, where we tell you all the news from all the studios. Yes. Why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel News, Marvel Movie News, or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, or on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, or on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about the live chat and how they can come talk to us and get all their Marvel news and our opinions on it, Hydra Steve in the booth will retweet you. Hi, Hydra Steve.
Heyo.
I am Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined by Markeia McCarty at MarkeiaMcCarty.
Yes, I think that was the closest
That's
ever...
the closest I've gotten.
Yes.
Paying
Emphasis
attention.
On the E and the Y.
Paying attention. Then we're also joined by Coy Jandro at CoyJandreau.
Back in the game. There it is. No extra A put on there.
We got Hydra Steve in the booth. We got Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer with the kitty cat Chewy. And we've also got Ollie on the couch doing social. What's going on, brother?
Nothing much. I'm really excited to hear what you guys have to say this week. And
not
I'll
a
chat-
lot.
Oh, well, I know it. But guys, if you're tuning in live, chat with me. I love to hear from you because we want to hear your questions and your comments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, we want to hear it all.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's jump in as usual, as promised.
So Black Panther first?
Yeah.
Falls asleep, like develops narcolepsy. Like,
So I actually do have a question. If we always start with Deadpool news for Coy, do you want Black Panther news to start? What property would you want? Like, if it comes in, we start with it for you.
Oh, the Storm solo movie.
Okay, so since that's never going to happen.
When that happens, we will do the whole show about it.
Yeah. If there's ever a Storm
Coy just
solo
said that.
Movie.
Coy confirms.
Okay, not only did I confirm a Storm solo movie, but that we'll be talking about it for an hour today.
That's all we got, everybody. There's no other news. Storm Solo.
Black Panther, and eventually when they do Daughters of the Dragon, that'd be cool.
Okay.
I'll also throw in Fearless Defenders.
Okay.
So,
well, we are not starting with Black Panther, because I had to throw that in at the very end, and you'll all see why when we get there. But we will start...
This broke Wednesday.
Dude, I know. This had to kill you to sit on for a week.
I was like, all right, 6 days? Tight. Let's just hang out. Let's just buckle up.
Yeah. As you may have heard, Hollywood Reporter broke the story, but everyone very quickly followed. Josh Brolin is Cable.
Yes.
Now, you see, the thing about Josh Brolin is Cable is
Now, see, you kind of broke off into Cosby there. Now, you see, the thing is...
Oh, my
It's
goodness.
The water with mystery ingredients.
No,
the filtered water about... for Popcorn Talk? Yes, yes. Please tell me more about this mystery water.
The thing about Josh Brolin is, if you had told me Josh Brolin is Cable... Even a month ago, a day before Michael Shannon's name was mentioned, I would have been a pig in poo. I would have been the happiest little boy. I would have been running around with glee.
All right, I'll go with it, I guess.
But I envision Michael Shannon, and now that I have that, like, I feel like this is the more obvious choice. Like, Michael Shannon felt like a great left field. Like, what a crazy idea. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin, and this isn't a bad thing, Josh Brolin is Cable. Sure. It makes sense.
Yeah,
he's rugged. He's got a military background. He's incredibly talented. To not name drop, I'm not even going to mention the movie. I worked on a movie with Josh Brolin once, and the guy was the coolest dude. He, like, remembered what kind of motorcycle I drove. He, like, went out of his way to talk to everyone in the cast and crew. He was made of, like, puppies and rainbows. He was a heart of gold. He's not Michael Shannon. So, like, a part of me wishes I never thought of Michael Shannon, because now I'm like... I need to get over the wound mm-hmm. of the breakup, mm-hmm. the Michael Shannon breakup, until I can love Josh again.
I hear you. Oh,
does that make enough. Sense?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm just not used to them having the same actor in two icons when it comes to the
MCU.
I just
God.
Destroyed.
You just pulled a Thanos.
I destroyed
everything. Yeah, but when you really think about it, yes, it's Josh Brolin, which is like, he's a powerhouse. Yeah. And then when you think of it with Thanos, I mean, that's some heavy CGI, and it's basically a voiceover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course you can. I didn't think about it, having him as it, because in my mind, he already was something else.
He's already Thanos.
Yeah, but like I said, heavy CGI and a voiceover.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the wound is Lawrence Fishburne cannot be Cable. But that does mean that he can be anything else mm-hmm. in the MCU, and eventually mm-hmm. they will have him.
They have to get him
they
over.
They
have to get him
He's
over.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. I know that I saw something online, something with him with the possibility as, I think it was Forge, or maybe it was Bishop, or something like that.
Man.
Or maybe it was, I think it was Idris Elba, someone had him as Bishop because of his glowing eyes in the uh-huh. latest
picture,
in the latest
picture uh-huh. from last week was
uh-huh. that's
that
what it
was. Yeah, that was
yeah.
me freaking out
that's
about
Bishop.
Bishop.
That's
yeah.
what
Bishop.
It was.
That's
what
Bishop.
It was. So God, I'm A-okay with it. I'm on board. He is our Cable. He's got a 4-picture deal.
You know what's going to be great? Brolin and Ryan Reynolds. Like, it's an A-plus
yeah.
casting choice. Like,
yeah.
all of my heartache isn't Brolin. It's a lack of Michael Shannon. And I feel that with most movies that don't star Michael Shannon, because they all should. It's not a Brolin problem, because people are saying it's an easy casting choice. It's like, you know, it's the safe choice. Cable isn't ever going to be safe. He's a time-traveling mutant father of X-Men.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
this character is not a safe thing to do ever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
no matter what, we're going to get crazy. No matter what, we've got an actor that's responsible. I'm just glad it's not, like... It doesn't feel like pandering. It feels like getting
sure.
a good quality actor. So
sure.
I'm happy.
Yes. He is yeah. a quality actor. It is a good casting.
I totally agree. I think it's important what you pointed out. He has a 4-picture deal. That is an important thing to note.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means, let's see, he's going to be Deadpool 2. We know he's going to be X-Force.
Well, he has to be.
Well,
it's
I
Cable.
Mean, it's Cable, but yeah. like it's also been said, like, Cable will also be in X-Force. Like,
mm-hmm.
Deadpool 2 is being used part and parcel to set that up. So we know those two. That leaves two others. Are we thinking Deadpool 3, X-Force 2?
I'm thinking one of those is that the thing we're thinking of, and mm-hmm. I think a cameo. I think Cable will tie.
Oh, you
in.
Think a cameo?
Yeah.
If it's a cameo, if he can do a cameo in that deal, New Mutants.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
I think
New
Mutants is where
it's
gonna
right?
go.
Yeah,
I
mean, but I don't know if they would count that as a 4-picture deal. Like, that seems like it would be 4 pictures plus like a tiny cameo.
With an actor the caliber of Brolin, I'm sure that's part of the contract.
Yeah,
like, you
possibly,
need to tie
yeah.
that in up front. It's not going to be like, oh, I've got a free week, let's do New Mutants. Like, he's a busy man. So
yeah.
I think up front you'd have to tie it in. Because Downey Jr., when he did that however many picture deal, that included his cameos.
Yeah, and then think about it. It can be a cameo in the
mm-hmm.
sense that Robert Downey Jr. is in Spider-Man Homecoming, where they
sure.
say 5-6 scenes,
sure.
and the brunt of it is still going to be, you know, New Mutants or
sure.
whatnot, whatever they decide at that point. But, you know, that's still very
yeah.
light for a movie for somebody of his caliber.
Because here's my thinking. Deadpool 2 to introduce him, and then X-Force, X-Force 2, and X-Force 3, because everything comes in trilogies when it comes to superheroes.
Mm.
And there's no way they're going to do an X-Force movie without a leader that is Cable.
Right. That is one key
so
thing they need.
So my guess, Deadpool 3 may be happening, probably happening, but most
but
likely
need
doesn't
Cable.
Necessarily need Michael Shannon.
You see how
sorry.
Hard it is?
Sorry,
do you see how much it hurts?
I felt him hurt.
I know,
later.
I know.
Was,
you can see,
like a...
you can mark the point where his heart broke
so
right
much.
There.
Cable Shannon.
No, but Brolin.
Cable Shannon.
I like Brolin.
I
like Brolin. And we should say, during the Marvel press event that they had last night, I can't remember if it was Variety or Reporter, Hollywood Reporter, but someone asked specifically about Brolin playing Cable and also playing Thanos, and Feige's response was, you can play both, that's fine. Like,
yeah, and it's also like it's I don't mind that ever, but I especially don't mind it when it's in a voice.
Yeah,
like it's literally
yeah.
like the voice of a guy that we never see because he's a purple CGI dude.
It's a different skill set. I mean, you don't tell
yeah.
a stunt man that they can't also, you know, act
exactly.
or also do a voiceover.
Yeah.
so
I'm just glad that Thanos is going to stand up a little sooner when we get him in Deadpool 2.
I'm moving on to Spider-Man.
Oh, another
but
thing I enjoy.
Do you have anything else that you want to throw in about Brolin as Cable?
I was more upset in the beginning. I'm getting more used to it. It is literally not a Brolin as Cable problem, it is a Michael Shannon will live forever in my heart as Cable. And I might even watch the movie picturing him the whole time, so I need to watch it again.
I just hope that they have the entire cast of the Goonies somewhere in Deadpool just, 2.
If Deadpool does the truffle shuffle as a meta reference, I will lose my mind. Is well with the world. If that happens at any point, we're golden.
I just want Data in there.
Oh my god,
I just want him in there. I love that little amazing. Kid. He was in two movies and then he like disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, what was the...
They already have a Cyclops.
Short round in Temple of Doom.
And who was the... It was Carrie Green? Was that her name? The girl who was like the girlfriend of Josh Brolin?
Oh, I think so. Her name sounds familiar.
Biggest crush on her.
Yeah, she was like...
I just remember Sean Astin in there.
Yeah, Oh, Sean Astin, and he's like carrying the ring, but he's also like, this is Troy's bucket! Bam, bam, bam! All right, let's move on to Spider-Man Homecoming, where we got...
That was our Goonies moment.
Yeah. Goonies never die.
Marvel Goonie News.
Marvel Goonie News. Spider-Man Homecoming, first look at Flash Thompson and Homecoming. This comes... So, last week in Japan, they had like a foreign press tour sort of thing for Spider-Man Homecoming, where they showed a few clips from it. And Tony Revolori as Flash Thompson was one of the things that they showed. And of course, the press there was like, oh, we're going to take as many pictures as we can. Mm-hmm. And they did. And some of those made it to the internet. And this is one of them. And this is our first real look at Tony Revolori as Flash Thompson with the pop collar. as we can see there, he's in good shape, but he's not like the giant hulking behemoth that he kind of, like behemoth of a bully that he was in the comics. And that goes along with, I think it was John Watts and Tom Holland have both commented on, bullies today aren't necessarily like, come here, you Poindexter, I'm going to beat you to a pulp. Give me your lunch money. I mean, sure, there's that. But I think that it's more of a, I'm richer than you, I have more than you, I'm better than you.
Right.
Yeah.
A thousand different
ways. There's a different kind of bully. But bright colors.
Bright colors.
You know, those
show the bully. Pop colors never die. Pop colors will always be the mark of a bad person.
This is the pop color bucket.
Now you know he's a bad guy.
Yeah, now you know.
And they all still call people Poindexter.
That's one of my favorite, like, old-timey, like, you Poindexter. It's like, how's that an insult?
I got your pocket protector. I got your pocket protector,
you buck-toothed Poindexter. I've just always loved it. It's like the worst insult. Like, I'm a Poindexter. That's a cool sounding word. Call me a Poindexter all you want. There's not much to talk about there, but that is exciting. We got our first look at that. Also, new rumor. This is coming from the wonderful people over at the MCU Exchange, where they believe they've cracked the case of who Logan Marshall Green could be in Spider-Man Homecoming.
All right.
Tom Hardy.
He's
playing Tom Hardy.
Yes.
He fights. Actually fights Tom Hardy. It's his twin.
We've reached Inception.
Dude, no, this is like as much as Tobey Maguire and Jake Gyllenhaal had that thing in the 90s. For me, Logan Marshall Green, I'm always like, which one?
Which one?
Yeah.
Even Hydra Steve was like, oh, looks like Tom Hardy. Right. Like, before the show. I was like, no.
Hydra Steve, Hydra Wife.
You know, honestly, Tom Hardy replaced his face now. For me, once you said that, that is only Tom Hardy to me.
Yep. It's a problem. My love of Tom Hardy has erased Logan Marshall Green. I'm sorry, Logan Marshall Green.
So whenever the casting like people are like, they're working with the producer and they go, oh man, we want Tom Hardy, but not quite as big, like not quite as like bulky.
Scheduling conflicts might come into play. Logan Marshall Green.
Yeah. He's your guy. You want a skinnier?
My dream casting of Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Hardy is happening by way of them getting Logan Marshall Green.
Yep.
Like the other Tom Hardy.
So a stand-in for Logan Marshall Green on Spider-Man Homecoming somehow spoke with MCU Exchange and told them that he had the name Bryce on his coveralls.
Just being the stand-in.
Stand-in for Logan Marshall Green.
He's just like, hey. And like, it's Logan Marshall Green because there's like this in-joke. I'm sorry, universe, that's what I want.
He had the last name Bryce as in Jackson Montana Bryce,
awesome.
One of the three enforcers who were like the original, like three of the original gangsters for hire that were constantly fighting Spider-Man. There were the three that were in that weird cave in the Green Goblin one, I think, right? Where like Green Goblin hired
Spider-Man
them.
Spider-Man 13, I want to say.
It's like really early on. It was like,
he still had a broomstick, dude.
Yeah, where like where Spider-Man flew to Los Angeles to be in a movie.
Yeah.
But it turned out it was like all like this weird thing with the Green Goblin. That's a weird, weird story.
It's a trap.
He's playing one of the enforcers, which leads me to think maybe Donald Glover is one of the other two enforcers.
They could rewrite it, make Prowler an enforcer. Like that could that also type true. Of character could also totally true, play yeah. as an enforcer. Also like true. A power set that's like done by them, not a superhero power set, mm-hmm, is all the enforcers. Mm-hmm. It's a special technical skill. Totally works as an enforcer, and it's a like a lower grade here. That could totally work. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Prowler's an enforcer is great.
They could definitely do that.
Or you know just. One of the other orders.
Or just someone else. As long as they're not all coming out of Oscorp, yeah. then we have done yeah. a step done in the job. Right yes. direction. We've done
our job. There are other bad guys.
So now, you'll have to bear with me on this one. I didn't have time to really look into this a little bit too much. But that hashtag show, again, via the wonderful people over the MCU Exchange, who are friends of the show and lovely, lovely gentlemen and gentlewomen, broke this story that Jessica Jones season 2 cast breakdowns are hinting at a couple new characters to come in. As they usually do with casting, they're not using the actual names of the characters. They're all like hidden and shrouded in mystery.
like but there's Motherland a yeah. Summer of George.
Oh my God, Summer of George. That's one of my favorites. Dr. Kirby is 60s male, open ethnicity, scientist, and free thinker, series regular, 1-year deal. The MCU Exchange believes that is perfect for the Spider-Woman, the original Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew, villain Dr. Carl Malus, M-A-L-U-S.
Okay.
And that actually does make a lot of sense, especially if she doesn't get to the bottom of the whole like IGH mm-hmm. thing. He would be a perfect choice to be.
He'd be a nice bridge into her own season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like because he was like very much always experimenting with like that and like mutant growth and stuff like that. He kind of became a mutant on his own at one point. Mm-hmm. He bonded with a symbiote at one point, like so he can kind
haven't
of
haven't we all.
Haven't we all? Yeah. But he can kind of like unhinge his jaw and grow like a bigger jaw, which is, if you look at him, like that's pretty effing terrifying.
Did Serpent Society call for him?
Oh my God, yeah. I tried to look a little bit deep. Again, like usually I would spend like an hour like, who else could it be? Like reminding myself of all the other characters.
Let me explore this
rabbit hole. Yeah. But I didn't have time. I apologize. But I gave it like a few minutes and looked around. I was like, I actually don't see anyone else that he could be. That's actually a really good choice.
Okay.
Then there's another dude, Presley, late 30s, male, African American, intelligent, driven, and self-assured. MCU Exchange believes that that is Paladin. He's a daredevil, a mercenary seen in Daredevil, who is sometimes good, sometimes bad. He's worked with Black Cat and her whole team.
And that would be fun because then that can also bring in the Misty element with it, Heroes for Hire and everything. So it's Colleen Wing and him. Like this.
Yeah, and it would make sense because he's, I can't remember what he does by the day, but he's not a mercenary by day. He's like a social worker or something by day. Like he's like a legitimately good guy during the day, but at night he's like, all right, I'm going to go kick some ass, you know.
he's just chaotic neutral when it comes to his choices.
Yes, yes, very much so. But it could be like he's trying to do the right thing. He's kind of like a copycat. Oh, you know what? He's a private eye. He's not a good guy. What was I thinking? He's a private eye during the day.
Oh, my God.
Which ties into Jessica Jones. You're just, like, so casually defeating the Marvel Universe over here.
Do you not want toys on the desk anymore? Because this is how we lose toys.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things, Markia.
Scarlet Spider over here in safety.
For those of you who are listening,
been through enough,
Dan Slott's ruined him plenty. Don't have to ruin it here.
For those of you listening to our podcast, Markia is just decimating our
desk. Apocalypse was on his side. I was trying to fix him.
Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone, Markia.
You mentioned Black Cat. Have we talked about the rumor, and I've been reading up on it, about Sony basically announcing all of these films as a way to make their market seem stronger and they're selling off their film division? Because that intrigues me.
I haven't heard that, and I don't know.
Because
it's possible.
Them announcing the Black Cat Silver Sable thing felt like a joke that I didn't get the punchline to. Mm-hmm. And then we haven't heard anything since, and the Venom movie is supposed to come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
Intrigue. If that happens... Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is interesting.
It's entirely possible that that's a thing. So anyway, Paladin is a private eye during the day and kind of a mercenary for hire by night. And that makes sense to me for Jessica Jones because she's a private eye, so maybe the two of them are butting heads now. Maybe he's kind of a copycat Daredevil guy because he's not as up as Daredevil. He doesn't have the special powers, but he's still, an adroit fighter.
Good use of adroit. Yes. Well, nicely done.
I studied literature.
Just wanted to call that out in the audience.
Thank you. Another guy, Oliver, 34 to 38, male, Latino, artistic, paternal, smart, scruffy, and hip, series regular. MCU Exchange believes he might be Otis Johnson. I hope that it's Otis Johnson. Like, I have no idea who else it could be. It's such a thin, like, there's nothing to go on. Like, Latino, artistic, paternal, smart. Like, all right, whatever. But when I saw that their choice was Otis Johnson, I was like, that's awesome. He's just like a pencil pusher for Misty Knight and the Heroes for Hire.
A real Poindexter.
He's a real Poindexter, that Otis Johnson. But in an accident with AIM, he ends up getting the one superpower, and it's invulnerability. So, like, he survives. Hey,
if there's anything to get.
yeah. Like, so the dude can't be, like, he's not strong. He's not fast. He's not super smart. I'm an accountant for Misty Knight and her Heroes for Hire. Punch, punch, punch. Oh, that doesn't hurt and you can't kill me.
What a fun character.
Dude, I know.
I like that idea. Like, that's a good choice. Like,
I would so my hope is that we get to see him kind of in the office, like working in the office.
And someone comes and messes stuff up. For Jessica Jones.
Like, and she doesn't know that he has this power or whatever. Like, he got it from IGH. He's hoping that she can help him get to the bottom of it. Something like that. Mm-hmm. And then someone comes into the office to attack. And they just keep punching him. He doesn't feel pain. And is he invulnerable? Like, he's the best punching bag ever.
You know? That's a fun character choice. Yeah. I like that.
And then finally, here's this is the interesting choice that they had. Ingrid, in quotes, early to mid-30s, 5'8", 5'11", female, dark hair, attractive, edgy, has a history of living on the streets, educated as a nurse, but streetwise, is attracted to men and women, series regular, their choice, Typhoid Mary.
Yes, I love Typhoid Mary.
How cool would that actually be to finally get Typhoid Mary?
We want her hard.
Yeah. And she'd be amazing on Netflix. That's like where this character belongs on Netflix. Yep. She doesn't really belong in the movies as they built them. She doesn't really belong on network TV. Netflix Typhoid Mary. Please.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Typhoid Mary her actual name is Mary Walker, I believe. Mary Walker. And she has three distinct personalities. One is sweet and nice and sort of like, oh, I'm so sorry, like a bit of apologizing a lot. And the other one is adventurous, lustful, violent, loves men, and then the other one hates men.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the power, I know she's pyrokinetic. I think she also may have like low level telekinesis.
I think it depends on the writer. They've played her a lot. They haven't really been consistent, but she's amazing when she pops up.
She can set people on fire. She can set objects on fire. You know,
it's a fun character, and it wouldn't be too
and she's
costly.
Insane. Yeah,
like it'd be a good actress.
She's obviously insane.
Have someone really talented play her, so they can like actually express the mania. But then the actual cost of special effects wouldn't be much. Fire is more manageable than most of the stuff.
Yeah, she's like an Aubrey Plaza type, but we already have Aubrey doing our Joker-esque Man of Shadows
perfectly. Oh my God, Legion! Aubrey Plaza. Oh my God, Demon that last episode. Oh
yes.
My God. Oh my God.
But like that type.
Yeah.
Or I'd love to see Rooney Mara as Typhoid Mary.
Oh.
Rooney Mara? Ooh. I'd love to see a girl's dragon tattoo.
Actually see it, but I've seen it.
She's incredible.
Okay. Yeah, that would
or
be
Or even
really
her
good.
Sister, Kate Mara.
Yeah, like, give me a Mara.
Yeah, give me one of the Maras.
Give me a Mara.
Give me one of them damn Maras.
She needs to redeem herself from, you know.
We don't want to talk about it. Let's say those words in this room. But
one of the things that I like about this character of Typhoid Mary is that she is legitimately like she has a psychosis. Like, she's legitimately like
hurt. Tatiana Maslany is her, because she plays multiple personalities already so well.
Oh,
and she looks like
Could
Typhoid Mary,
her?
Right?
Can we get her? And then we get all the Clone Club.
All right, everyone write Marvel and tell them if they don't already have Typhoid
that
Mary,
she has to play that.
That they should find it. Like, put Tatiana Maslany in the role of Typhoid Mary. Everyone write to Marvel right now.
Damian Arredondo had that exact thought as I said it out loud. I looked in, and yes, thank you. Good call.
Well done,
yes,
Damian. Well
perfect.
Done.
Perfect.
Wonderful
She's
friend
already
of the show,
used
Damian.
To it.
It's yeah.
good.
Yeah,
She's
awesome.
Already got the skill set.
Yeah. That, oh, my God. That. Yeah, perfect.
Same
Done.
Page, everyone.
Done. Do it. Do it. Right, Marvel. Do it right now. We should end the show on that. Let's just go.
Except for Black Panther.
Sorry. We'll get to Black Panther.
Yes.
That is one of the things that I like about that character so much is that she is legit. She actually needs psychological help. Like, it's not like Legion where he's like, oh, I need to, there's a telepath in here somewhere. I'm going to dig in and find him and get that personality out. She legitimately cannot control her personality.
Right.
And I love that. You never know what you're getting with her. You're like, oh, she's so nice and sweet and kind. And then all of a sudden she's like, you're a man and I hate you, burn. It's like, what? What? Yeah, so anyway. You found a story.
I did.
About
Valkyrie
and the Misty Knight.
Yes. Yeah. Do you want me to remember? Okay.
I can set it up if you want to knock it down.
Yeah.
Also, let me set it up. A fan on Twitter named Robert Young tweeted out just a random, just thinking about it while I'm at work tweet, saying basically, I would love to see Simone Missick and Tessa Thompson team up as Valkyrie and Misty Knight, which we've seen in Fearless Defenders.
Yeah.
And then the two women, the two actresses, tweeted back second and third.
Yes.
Like, basically, like, I second it, I third it.
But let's be honest, would anybody say, nah, I'm good?
No one.
Especially when you have these incredible characters.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, so Tessa Thompson, this is her first time being part of the MCU. Mm-hmm. Well, for both of them. Mm-hmm. But
and Simone
Missick
has
Valkyrie. She gets Valkyrie. Oh, my God. That's like, she's already won the genetic lottery, and now she's won, the MCU lottery. It's like, this is amazing. Of course she's not going to say no. And then you have Fearless Defenders. It was a limited. I actually haven't read all of it yet. I'm going to go back and read. It came out in, 2013, I want to say. Fearless Defenders. So I need to finish that one off. But, the two of them team together. It's Misty Knight and Valkyrie. How can you go wrong with this?
Yeah.
There's nothing to go wrong with it.
There's nothing that can go wrong. It's a shame that the movies don't cross over with the TV so much, because I doubt we'll ever see that.
Yeah.
But that would be amazing.
Or at least an animated series. We could do animated.
We could do animated,
I mean,
right?
Planet Hulk was animated. We could do this.
We can do a Fearless Defenders animation. all right, well, let's move on real quick, because we do have a lot to get to at the end of the show. We got our first look at Punisher in costume with the skull cover, the bulletproof skull jacket. And it looks cool.
Bulletproof?
Well, not bulletproof, but it's probably bulletproof. Come on, it's Kevlar. You know it's Kevlar.
No, I just like that there's bullet holes in the skull.
Yeah.
In the skull design.
Well, the paint's not bulletproof.
Nope.
So, he underneath the
there
paint.
There you go.
That's why I'm wearing this shirt today.
So it's
well done.
It's well done.
No, we see the skulls. We see the skulls. We see the skulls in your shirt.
Just celebrating that image.
Yeah,
that image
alone. I love seeing the Punisher beat up. Mm-hmm. I'm just one of those people. There's something about seeing him with bruises on his face. He was out doing what he thinks is good.
Yeah. Well, every single bruise tells a story, and I want to know that story. I want to know the story of every single one of those bruises.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just hope he gets beat up all season. I really hope.
You're sadistic.
For Markia's sake.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Markia, you're sadistic.
I mean, I only approve of it.
He's the Punisher.
You're both sadistic. So, that's fun. We're excited. That'll probably come out this year. That's my guess. I should have put this after Spider-Man, but Spider-Man Animated over at Sony, which Marvel has nothing to do with, have cast Shameik Moore from Dope and the Get Down as Miles Morales.
Congrats.
And Liv Schreiber is joining the project as the movie's villain.
Everyone see Dope and realize that Miles Morales does exist in the movie Dope.
Yeah, yeah, really does.
And then be excited that we get Miles Morales in the animated series, as played by a guy that's already played him very well, in Dope. This is perfect.
It's perfect. It's so good. It really is. It was so funny because it was like, oh, it's not Donald Glover. Then I saw who it was, and I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, never mind.
I'm all good.
I'm good.
I watched that movie more often than most movies, and every time I'm like, this is what I remember the feeling of being a kid and experiencing, teen and high school, and, it gives you all those feels of, outcast cool, on the good side of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's Miles Morales to me. He's a kid that's too smart for his own good, that really doesn't know how to handle people, and that is so well played by this guy, and now he's playing him for real.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked.
So excited. Liv Schreiber, who do you want to see him play? He's the villain.
Who has gruffness? Craven.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Craven for me.
Would they do that?
I don't know. They could. Why wouldn't they? I think they totally should.
Oh, wow.
The only thing I wouldn't, the only reason I wouldn't want Kraven in animated is because it's a character that would translate so well to film.
Yeah.
And
you could have both.
You can have both. But why not do a character that wouldn't translate well to film and animated?
Mm.
Like, the range of what you can do with animated, Mysterio could be tripping balls. You know what I mean? You could really go and stuff like that. It gives a certain depth that animated can't do things film can, and vice versa. That's all I'm saying.
Whenever I think of Mysterio, though, I think of, what was that? Dr. Hammer. The Joss Whedon thing that he did with Neil Patrick
Harris. Oh, yeah. Dr. Horrible?
Dr. Horrible, yeah. And the sing-along blog. Thank you. Whenever I think of Mysterio, I think of like a set-alone, you know, like a standalone of Neil Patrick Harris doing Mysterio in that way. That's whenever
Wait,
I think of it.
Neil Patrick Harris as Mysterio?
Yeah.
I'm so on board for that.
Yeah, and then like steadily gets awesome. Darker and darker and yeah. darker as it goes along. Kind of like how you want Telltale Games to like make a Mr. Sinister game where it's like you think you're the good guy.
Yeah.
And then like as things progress, you get more and more into genetics and then like, you know, all of these. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. And then at the end, it's like, I was the villain all along.
I love like villain like origin stories. They're always so fascinating to me. Yeah. I love that stuff. All right. I love Kraven. The ultimate version where he's a reality star. Or the original version.
It'd be
he's
616
like
for me. If they're going to go with Liev Schreiber. If they went Gerard Butler ultimate. I'd love the idea of ultimate Kraven Gerard Butler. Yeah. Like reality TV Gerard Butler. Like, like that. Yes.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, it'd be fun to be like see Tombstone. Like, he'd be a fun little like whispering Liev Schreiber villain. Like, stuff like that. Like a gangster. But once again, animated, you want to go full tilt.
You want to go full.
I'm sorry. When he said that, all I could see was like Gerard Butler going, "This is my last hunt."
This is Sweeps Week!
Alright, so let's move on to some quick Guardians news before we kind of shuffle off and talk about all the stuff that came out this morning from last night's press event. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So, this is amazing. I love this story so much. James Gunn was asked on Twitter if he would ever consider doing a Guardians Christmas special. Like a holiday special. Like the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes, please.
His answer... the tweet came from Jenna Costa Didi, who tweeted at James Gunn, "Have you thought about doing a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special for ABC in the future?" James Gunn's response was, "Honestly, yes. I talk about this all the time with Kevin Feige. We both find the idea fun and funny." And another tweet, I couldn't find it, but I remember reading it. "Oh, that picture is glorious. I haven't even seen that yet. Oh my God, yes." Wow.
The picture is
Star-Lord Santa.
Yeah, Star-Lord in a Santa hat, Gamora in a, I guess, a Miss Santa Claus dress.
Mrs. Claus? She's canon, Mrs. Claus.
She's Mrs. Claus, yeah. With, of course, Star-Sword. And Groot is lit up with
a
lights.
A Christmas tree, and it looks like he has a little light above. Oh, that's adorable. I love that so hard.
Everybody's got Santa hats on.
Everyone's got, I love that so hard. I couldn't find the tweet, but there was another tweet where he said the holiday special was one of his favorite things as a kid. Like, which makes him like one of six people in the entire world who actually love the Star Wars holiday special. Because have you tried to watch that recently?
I have as a drinking game, and I don't remember the ending.
Yeah, that's kind of the only way you can get through it. It's real, real tough. I apologize to all of you who love it. It's tough. Yeah, like I can admit the Doctor Strange film from 1978. It's not good. It's hard to get through. It's real hard
to get
through.
That's your real man to admit that.
That does. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a real man. That's You heard it here first, everybody.
Koi confirms Matt Key. Real man.
Yeah.
Matt Key.
No, we hear you. You hate Chewbacca.
Come on. That is not true. I love Kashyyyk. I wish Chewbacca's family the best on Life Day. I just wish they had done a better holiday special about it. Anyway, I think that's great. I doubt it will ever happen, but we talked about it on Screen Junkies, Leslie, when the news broke. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think if they did that, it would be the Groot family, because let's be honest.
You'd have to,
like,
right?
The Wookiees all just like screaming at each other with no subtitles for 5 minutes where you're just like, I don't know what the F is going on. I just know that hairy people are yelling at each other in nonsensical language. That's what Groot would be.
This would be like,
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
And like, they're all like cooking vegetables or whatever they eat. Humans. I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was a fun story. I thought we'd throw it in.
What would they eat?
I don't know. Water and sunlight?
Sunlight, I guess.
They have like Energon cubes. They're Transformers this whole time.
Or like the darker side.
I just ruined Koi.
Michael Bay comes in like, this is how you do it.
Oh no, lens flare.
James Gunn also confirmed he will be doing Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Now, this is exciting. It's been going back and forth. People have been asking him for a while, and he's always said, I don't know, maybe. I'm not in it. Like, obviously the money's nice. I want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to leverage money. Like, I have my heart, soul, and mind all have to be in the right place to want to do it and to need to do it. Like, obviously I want to, but do I need to? And it turns out he needs to. And he wrote, I encourage all of you to go look this up. Go find what his Facebook message where he wrote about it. It's a really sweet letter to the fans talking about how much the fans mean to him, the fandom, how much he appreciates that, how much he needs that. And how, you know, it's just, it's a great read. But I did want to point out something that he said in there. Much of what's happened in the MCU for the past 10 or so years has been leading in a big way to the Avengers Infinity War. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will happen after all of that. It will conclude the story of this iteration of the Guardians and help catapult both old and new Marvel characters into the next 10 years and beyond. And then he goes on to say how he's going to work with Kevin Feige to construct the Marvel Cosmic Universe and everything else. So that to me is that the future of the Marvel, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is cosmic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
James Gunn, yeah. And I can't speak about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like from some of the little bitty things that I've heard from other various friends, there's a couple kinds of things like that in Guardians, where it's like, oh, this might be setting something up for something, and that's not news. Every single movie has like. Yeah. And it's like it's the extended universe, but it's just like what I heard. I'm like, okay, that's a thing that I see what you So, and the next couple of weeks will be interesting in terms of both Guardians and in terms of the future of the cosmic universe, because it sounds like James Gunn has a few irons in that particular fire that Marvel Studios is interested in.
And I am A-okay with that.
Yeah. Yes. So the big question, though, is what's Phase 4? Like, is there a big overarching villain for Phase 4? Are they resetting it and doing, like, 4, 5, and 6, where we're going to have a new three, like,
giant
ten,
film trilogy
12 movie
the next 10
villain?
Years?
Yeah. A new decade? Oh, my God. Like, if they do, like, just think about that. If they do a Phase 4, 5, and 6, kids who were born when Phase 1 started will be in college. Did I just break you?
I'm just so old suddenly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll be so much older.
Yeah. Yeah. I broke my own heart, by the way, saying that.
I'm okay with dying watching Spider-Man. I'm cool with it. Like, I'm 90 and they're like, ah, the 12th Spider-Man was just cast. I'm like, good for him.
Stallone.
I just saw him on the Holocube.
Yeah.
Stallone was confirmed even more to be Star-Hulk. it sounds like it's pretty 100% certain that he is... He is Stekar Ogard. There was a Stitch Kingdom was at a screening for the film, got their hands on the promotional material for the film. And the quote that they have is, "A lifelong respected Ravager, Stekar isn't fond of Yondu. Sylvester Stallone offers the character's backstory, saying, Stekar is... let's see, what's Stallone's voice? Stekar banished Yondu many years earlier for doing something wrong and finally... Sees him almost 20 years later at this particular establishment called Iron Lotus, where all the Ravages go to blow off steam. Is that a good
that
Stallone?
Was very good.
That was very good, but you have to say three seashells at the end.
Okay. see him 20 particular establishment called Iron Lotus, where all the Ravages go to blow. Then we have a confrontation, which is pretty intense, and it's kind of a father-son type of thing. Now he's going to have to pay the piper. It's karma comeback tenfold. Susie sells she sells. How did I do?
Three seashells. Three seashells.
I don't know.
From Demolition Man.
Oh my God. I forgot about it. I was just like, well, all right, I'll say
she
it.
She also does sell seashells by the seashore.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, Susie sells seashells. Stekar hates Yondu, basically. The two of them have an altercation. Stekar is up there on with the Ravagers. My guess is that he's not exactly how he is in the comics. That he hasn't prayed to a hot god on Arcturus.
Right.
He probably doesn't have like the powers of the hot god. He's probably not like physically bonded in the same space with his stepsister Alita. She's probably a whole other character. She's probably going to be an awesome badass and a character that we all fall in love with later on in the series and in Guardians 3 if he survives it.
Yeah, if only because there isn't time, not because we wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just way too much to set up for one character who's marginally in the background.
Exactly.
I don't know. Like, the more and more I hear about this, the more I think, I actually think he's the Ravager who's after the Guardians more than Yondu. Because we've heard that the Ravagers are chasing after the Guardians.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, well, that's Yondu. He's chasing him. Then he eventually teams up with him. I think it's Stallone. I think Stallone
is like... That makes a lot of sense. Stallone to not do a lot.
Right. Yeah, like
it'd be kind of a waste.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was like just going to be kind of a cameo kind of thing, but he's in it, and now he's like in the future of it. Like James Gunn has said, no, he's actually really important to the future of the Marvel Cosmic Universe.
There
like,
we go.
So my guess is he survives this movie and he goes on, and here's what I think is going to happen with this character, and I've said it before, but I just want to reiterate it. I think in this film we are going to hear the names Martinex, Charlie, maybe Charlie 27, Vance Astro, or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I think all of them are Ravagers along with Stakar, Ogard, right. Starhawk.
Charlie 27 is like the huge one,
he's
right?
The big one who was like genetically engineered human to survive on Jupiter. Martinex is genetically engineered to survive on Pluto, and he can operate in both temperature extremes of hot and cold. Mm-hmm. So those are the original Guardians from the 31st century. And I think James Gunn is paying homage to them by making all of them Ravagers. And I think that's the future of the Ravagers storyline. I can't guarantee you, but my guess is we'll hear at least one more of those names thrown in.
Peter Dew says, so if he's a Ravager, then Michael Rosenbaum is also a Ravager. What do you think?
I think that's possible. If that's the case, he's probably Vance Astro or Martinex. Or... I'm holding out hope that he's Richard Rider.
Or, I love that so much.
Yeah.
He looks good bald. I'd love to see him as Silver
Alexander's
Surfer.
Dad.
I'd love to see him as Silver Surfer. He looks good bald.
We're not
going to
see him as Silver Surfer.
We've had that experience.
We're not going to see him as Silver Surfer.
I can dream.
We're not going to see
Keanu
him.
Keanu Reeves is Silver Surfer.
Oh my God, yes.
Keanu Reeves is Silver Surfer.
Whoa, I know Power Cosmic. Whoa. all right, we got to move on.
Yeah.
Marvel will be at Hall H. That's exciting because there's been curiosity. We wondered because D23 is the week right
Comic-Con
before.
Comic-Con people, yes, confirmed.
So news just came out today. Apparently Feige said something at the Marvel thing that they had last night. There's Chris Hardwick. What a guy. The gad guy. They'll be at Hall H this year. There's no other news. We don't know what they're going to bring. But if we look at last year... So here's how last year went. I'm going to throw this out there, and then you guys tell me what you think we're going to see.
Okay.
Last year, it started with them announcing the entire Black Panther cast.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moved, if I remember correctly, to Doctor Strange and showed the first big full trailer. Then it went from there to seeing a bit of a sizzle reel for Spider-Man Homecoming. And I think that... It feels like there was one more thing, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, Thor Ragnarok. Duh. There was like right after Doctor Strange, they were like, oh, by the way, we've also got this Thor Ragnarok thing. And I was like, whoa, my God, what are you doing? So they showed four things last year.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of those things were in some degree of being created. So what does Marvel have? They've got Thor Ragnarok. So my guess is we'll see our first big full trailer for Thor Ragnarok there.
Yeah, we'd have to by that point. Because it comes out in November, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is that we'll get all of our casting news on Captain Marvel and the director if we don't already know. But my guess is that we'll find out about the director in the next month or two.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if we didn't.
Especially if it's true, apparently Peyton Reed let it slip yesterday at the Marvel event that... Mm-hmm. They were talking about Captain Marvel and the concept art, and he said something like, I'm just going to get to this news now. He said something like, oh, I thought that they already found the director. They found her today, didn't they? And the producer that was there was no. He's like, or not. No, they apparently they did
just
not.
Just like
never
that,
mind.
Ant-Man 2 loses a director like Ant-Man 1.
Yep. That was apparently kind of a surprise, kind of like, oops. If that's true, if he heard correctly, then we'll probably hear in a month or so. They'll make that announcement and get it out in the trades.
I mean,
they start filming
not too long. I mean, like next year.
I think they start filming in January, but the directors still need to get
January of next year, right?
Yeah, but the director's still going to need time to do pre-production on it.
Pre-everything.
I mean, they're already doing concept art. She's already in Infinity War. I'm certain that she is, at least. I don't know if it's been confirmed that she is, but I imagine that we're going to get introduced to Carol Danvers at the very least.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's going to be a quick introduction, and then what we know will happen.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope that they have the Psyche Magnetron. You can't say that name without you have to do the nerd voice. You have to, Ollie. That's the rule. The little Psyche Magnetron. You have to do the Poindexter voice.
Poindexter voice.
Point voice.
That's the hashtag for this show. Yeah. Poindexter.
Poindexter. Hashtag Matt Keyes and Poindexter. So my guess is that we'll get all the casting. Like, are we going to see, what's the, Jan Vog? Why am I forgetting the Captain Marvel villain? Jan Vog, I think. Yeah, anyway.
Have they announced the Captain Marvel villain?
They have not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They are one of the big ones. Like, they're the Kree scientist who activated the Psyche Magnetron and
all
that stuff.
It took them forever to announce the Wonder Woman one. I would think they wouldn't. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah. They'll announce any of the other Captain Marvel allies and stuff like that. The same way that they did Black Panther. And that's all we'll see. We might see, like, the concept art, since they have concept art for Carol Danvers in the costume. Yeah. We'll probably see that then. Then they'll move on to the Thor Ragnarok trailer.
You know what I want? An animated teaser for Infinity War.
My God.
Here's something. None of that's going to happen. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Then we'll see sizzle reel for Black Panther, the same way that they did for Spider-Man Homecoming, where they'll be like, here's a sense of what we're doing with Wakanda, and here's a sense of what you're going to get to see, because we're not going to see a trailer for that until
Captain Marvel.
Because Black Panther comes out in February next year.
Yes, February My guess 16th, is that we'll 2018.
You know what? Maybe we will see a trailer, because Marvel's never By done then. A film that early. We might actually get a Black Panther teaser.
It'd be 7 months out, which is like similar to the pacing of similar pacing of Thor. Yeah.
I bet, you know what? I have to change it. I bet we don't. I bet we get a teaser and the behind the scenes featurette that they showed the.
I think they'll do a behind the scenes featurette and then say that's it and then be like, wait.
Here's the teaser. Well, I guess we could show you one other thing.
Yeah, no, have a little.
And then my guess is that we'll see like a sort of behind the scenes featurette for Infinity War or an actual teaser for Infinity War as well. Yeah. That's my guess. That's what I bet we're going
to
see. What?
I don't want them to announce the next 10 years of Marvel.
Ooh.
I don't want that.
No, they could save that until 2018.
I don't want them to ever do it again. I was so disappointed when they announced the entire Phase 3.
Oh, really?
I was so bummed to know what every movie was and what all the future held. And when was the last time a new movie was announced that was surprising?
Ant-Man and the Wasp was the only one that
surprising
they
as in
otherwise.
Happiness.
Yeah, but it's been very like, we as nerds, not just us, but we as nerds haven't had a new announcement of a new character as a show that was exciting, because the closest we've had was Punisher, and he was already backdoor piloted. I want to go into a thing and have a single movie announced and have that be exciting again, because that's how it was. Phase 1 and Phase 2, we got to be like, oh, they're making a blankety-blank movie? This was, it just felt
blankety
like
blankety blank's my favorite character.
Yeah. I mean, the spot's incredible.
I love all her powers.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
She's
like,
great.
I just don't
like knowing what the next 10 years of my life look like. So like there to be a surprise again, because I feel like what DC has is they have the ability to surprise us, but being like, oh, by the way, Green Lantern confirmed plus director. I want that feeling for Marvel.
Their slate too.
But
to be fair,
they didn't do it as
they didn't do it as big or broad. And I at the time I still agreed. Like, I think Marvel did a great thing by saying, here's a giant fan event. Everyone come to it. By the way, here's what we're doing.
I like that they know. Like, I just don't want to know. I'm the guy that doesn't like trailers after the first trailer, though. So I'm hoping I just get to stay naked.
Not everyone can be smart.
Yes, we want Koi to stay naked.
I would always like to stay naked. Knowledge and clothing.
But, hey, the world needs idiots, Koi.
Hey, you know what? The live chat agrees with me. Tim Cogan, thank you. Langley, thank you.
Langley, Langley, you agree with me. Langley.
Read every day. I'm like, yes, I agree.
Langley, you agree with me. You tell Koi he's wrong. All right, let's do... So our show gets to come to you guys because we have sponsors. And one of our sponsors is MVMT. MVMT watches.
Wow.
Ba, 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 ba.
Yes.
We all love our MVMT watches. We all wear them a lot.
God, I get so many compliments on
So do I. So do I. Yeah. I really do. And as I've said before, I'm not a watch guy. But then MVMT was like, hey, we want to sponsor your show. By the way, here's a watch. Give it a shot. You know, if you don't like it, then I guess you don't have to talk about it. And I was like, well, all right, I'll take that challenge, MVMT. And I love it. I love it. Challenge.
Challenge.
Challenge. I love it. MVMT watches, pronounced movement, if you were wondering. They took the vowels out. It's pronounced movement watches. Founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. Watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 1 million watches sold to over 160-plus countries around the world, Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest-growing watch company, and I believe it, because these watches are great. You guys wear these all the time, right?
Yeah, I actually don't own any other watch, except for the ones that they gave us.
Yeah.
I have three. and I rotate between all of them.
Three MVMT watches.
Mm-hmm. All MVMT, but I can dress for different wardrobe options.
Yeah, so, I have Assassin, which is all black. I named these, by the way. That is not what the name is on the website. I think it's the Boulevard Melrose is the all black one. And then I have Alias, which is what I call this one. Because
it turns you into Jennifer Garner.
I like the laugh mid joke. Then you were like trying to like, I'm gonna get it.
No, it's like because it's all rose gold and yeah. I just I like it because it can feel like different people in it.
I have this one that I wear when I am wearing all dark colors, and so it ties with dark. I have one with a brown band that matches my nice brown shoes, and then I have my formal one, which is the one you're wearing there, because it has nice accents, so I can wear jewelry with it. MVMT accessories. I mean, I just love the company because
I just this was funny. When I first started wearing the watch, right after like I got married, also we were driving somewhere, and Brittany, my wife, if you don't know, saw my hand on the wheel and saw the ring in the watch. She's like, "Oh, you look so grown up wearing a watch with that ring." And I was like, "I'm an adult now."
It wasn't the marriage. It wasn't like,
"I'm wearing a watch with the ring." I'm an adult.
Yeah, like,
and I drive like this. Yeah, it's Los Angeles.
Brittany drives often because Matt doesn't make it very far.
I'm like,
far. We gotta go.
Why doesn't our car ever go straight?
Brittany always knows what time it is when he hits the pole. Always knows.
Well, officer, was
approximately
time to leave. Anyway. Movement watches start at just $95 at a department store. You're looking at $400 to $500, so like this is quite the steal for this kind of a quality watch. And they've got over 1 million watches sold in over 160 countries, as I've already said. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmtwatches.com/marvel. 15% off. It's amazing.
It's like 12 bucks off the 95. It's like $83 watch. Come on, guys.
Awesome.
It's almost Father's Day.
Oh my goodness, is it?
Isn't that in June?
Isn't Mother's Day supposed to come first?
But I thought we just missed it.
Moms don't wear watches.
I thought we just had Mother's Day. Is that coming?
No. It's in May, right?
I would not forget my mom.
Someone Google Mother's Day.
Every day should be Mother's Day and Father's Day. They made you.
True, Mother's Day 2017. You know what? Right. Blankety Blank would know because she knows everything.
Blankety Blank is the best one.
She knows everything.
You got a fan cast. Blankety Blank. We are trying to figure this out.
It depends on the timeline also for Blankety
and
Blank.
And is it the 616 or the 1610? I mean, which version are we going with?
Dakota Fanning is Blankety Blank. Oh. Abigail Breslin is Blankety Blank.
Mother's Day is Sunday, May 14th, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Way to go, Koi. Way to freak us all out. All right, let's go. So last night they had a big time press screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 for the press. I got to talk to Roth Cornett over at Screen Junkies about it.
Love us some Roth.
And she would, like, true to the NDA that she signed, would not even, like, as a friend and a colleague, would not even tell me anything beyond, "I liked it." And I was like, no, like, and she's like, and she even prefaced, "No emotion, because I don't even want to give that away. I'll just say I liked it." And I was like, all right. And I kept asking her questions. She's like, "Stop asking me, because I can't answer." Like, she, all in a very friendly way, but like, that was basically it. But before they all went, they were invited to some pre-event, and none of the reporters going knew really 100% what it was. Turns out, Marvel open house. They were like, skush, they opened up the doors, they're like, "Come into the Willy Wonka chocolate factory."
Exactly.
Yeah. So they all got to go in. There were no cameras allowed. They couldn't bring out their phones and record anything. They recorded the event for the press. Like, on cassette. So, like, they sent that out this morning and everything.
Wow, cassettes
to all
live.
Of the press. Yep. They mailed the cassettes to everybody. I'm just kidding. That's not how it worked. But they did record everything for everyone to reference for their notes. And then they had an embargo on everything until 9 o'clock this morning. And then every single site was like, "Here's everything we saw!" So, here's everything. We're going to go through it as fast as we can. First of all, I want to point out, Feige said that he's cool with Batgirl and Joss Whedon. Like, in fact, Whedon contacted Feige a few months ago and said, "Hey, here's this."
Why wouldn't anybody be okay with that?
Well,
I mean, but it's, I know that there were people that were like,
It does seem very much like it's DC's middle finger to Marvel. Like, haha, we got Joss Whedon.
It turns out... He's a talented person.
He's a talented director who handles like female heroes
really
well.
Yeah,
like,
female-centric property. I have no problem with that.
I'm excited. That doesn't mean
we can never use him again. I mean, he gave us Avengers. It's cool. Let him help DC.
Age of Ultron, yeah. In fact, I bet Whedon's version of Age of Ultron, no offense, Marvel, I know you watch our show, but I bet Age of Ultron would have been better with less interference from Marvel Studios. I think they probably learned a lesson because Marvel learns their lessons, I feel. You know. Anyway, let's move on. Black Panther.
Do they, Scott Buck?
Marvel Studios
is different from Marvel Television. Sorry, I'm going to let that go.
You've got Marvel and Misty Knight back to back. It's good.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Here's everything they showed. They showed some concept art. In the concept art, they saw Thanos, Captain Marvel, Ant-Man and the Wasp concept art. They showed the dailies from Black Panther, which is... They typically don't show dailies at all. Like, that's a... Hey, here's the unfinished product of what is eventually going to be put through, like, effects and sound and color correction and all this other... Here's just the raw footage from the day, you know?
Can we talk about some of those dailies?
They also showed a sort of like behind the scenes featurette sizzle reel for Black Panther. Mm-hmm. They interviewed Taika Waititi about Thor Ragnarok, where he told some stuff. They saw a bit of visual effects stuff for Spider-Man Homecoming. So we're going to go through that really fast. Black Panther sizzle reel. Kevin Feige said, going forward, Black Panther really is a big part of the ongoing cinematic universe. I don't think this is a thrown away line. I think that this is actually a very important thing, one of the more important things maybe to come out of last night, because Black Panther is going to become like the new Captain America and Iron Man. He really is both.
He's amazing. Black Panther is amazing. I don't know if you have, I'm sorry, have you met Black Panther? Yeah, he's absolutely amazing. He has all these storylines. He's everything.
Yeah.
And I love that the way that he was introduced in Civil War, that and we talked about this, where it was like some people were like, oh, I didn't know if he was a bad guy or not. It's like, okay, welcome to the Black Panther universe, first and foremost. And then like, no, he's totally a good guy that can make very poor choices.
Everyone in Marvel can.
And it feels like, just from everything that was happening with Black Panther, like they put a lot into Black Panther, but it also kind of felt like a standalone. And because it was this beautiful world that's encapsulated, it can then branch off to other things. It's kind of like, for me, Guardians of the Galaxy, when they had that, it felt like a standalone. It felt like, oh, this is great, all these Easter eggs and da-da-da-da. But it felt like its own movie, kind of like Die Hard felt like its own movie. But you had these characters in this, well, you know, Die Hard, Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Panther, I'm talking about all of them at the same time. You have these characters that can exist in other scenarios. So instead of this, like, cliffhangy, and we'll tell you the rest of the story some other time. It's like, no, there's more story to be told because we know these characters now. So, yes, I'm very excited about Black Panther. That's basically
that. No, I'm glad. Like, hearing everything that we heard today and everything else, like, I'm very excited for Black Panther. Like, as if I needed to be even more excited. Like, I'm super excited for it now. Someone referred to this as Wakanda's origin story, because it's very much Wakanda coming onto the world stage for the first time ever, where they're like, hey, we're Wakanda, we exist, we have vibranium, we have incredibly advanced technology that your side of the hemisphere has never seen, here we are.
And I like they referred to it as a Wakanda origin story, not Black Panthers.
Yeah.
I like that, like, we didn't need that whole backstory in Civil War because the character is strong enough. And Chadwick Boseman's performance was strong enough. So I like the idea that Wakanda gets to be fleshed out so we can just reinforce our love of the character instead of distracting from it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they also have advanced tech that they're not sharing with the rest of the world. That's probably where the geopolitical stuff comes in, is Wakanda's now on the world stage.
And the Winter Soldier stuff.
Sure.
I mean, they were able to freeze Bucky. So that happened.
Yep. So, they also showed with the dailies, like, I kind of like, here's everything that they showed about Black Panther. They showed a lot, apparently, of the Dora Milaje. I'm saying that correctly. Dora Milaje. part of that was you saw Lupita Nyong'o as
kicking butt
as Nakia, taking out some bad guys amidst a lot of gunfire.
Like, and you know what? I bet it looked great.
Yeah.
And they gave her time to do the choreography. really get into character.
20 to 25 whole minutes before instead of 15. They're really right. Yeah.
They gave her an extra 10 difference. Minutes. Yeah. Apparently, like I read a description of the footage on, I think on Nerdist, where they talked about it and said, like, there's all these thugs. Like, I don't know who they were. Like, I'm guessing they work with Claw or something. Mm. All these thugs. And she's just wearing, like, this dark green hoodie and operating out of the shadows, taking all these dudes down as they're shooting at her and they can't hit her. And apparently, I think this is Dan Casey writing about it over at Nerdist, he said that there was a mistake in the footage where she got her hoodie, like her cloak got caught on a car door. Mm-hmm. That wasn't supposed to happen, but she was so good at it, she just rolled with it, improvised getting out of it, and still went and kicked the
dudes. That's awesome.
Nice.
So, since I didn't see it, I can't comment on it, but then they also saw Danai Gurira at the coronation of T'Challa. He's getting coronated at Warrior Falls, and like these boats are all rolling up to the coronation, and Danai Gurira is there as part of that. Lupita is on a second boat all by herself, coming from a border tribe, as it's described.
A border tribe?
A border of Wakanda. Oh,
okay.
Which to me means, is she like sort of like the Jabari tribe? Is she coming from like, Michael B. Like, Jordan or like from his tribe? Or
I mean, because there's different ones. There's the crocodile tribe. There's the lion tribe. Mm-hmm, their lead person is Sockmeat. And then, of course, White Gorilla Cult.
M'Baku,
and that's
M'Baku. Yeah.
So, I mean,
my guess
other
is
ones.
That she's coming from one of those and that maybe there's a question of loyalty in the movie in some capacity. And then, of course, she turns out to be the most loyal person ever. But, you know,
I don't know. See.
They also showed Claw. So this took place in South Korea. Ulysses Claw, played by Andy Serkis, enters a casino in South Korea. He's got a lot of people with him. Someone said Claw Party of Eight, and then he goes to meet with Everett Ross. And the entire time he's walking through, you can hear T'Challa in his Dor Milaje saying, "He's entering. He's coming here. He's doing this. He's about to come here." And then he sits down with Everett Ross. And then an attack happens. Everett Ross steals the briefcase from Claw and runs off. My guess is that that's where the giant car chase scene in South Korea happens.
Yeah. Right. And then car flippity flops. Yeah.
Flippity floops.
Got my car flippy floppies.
Yeah, my flippy floppies happens. But it sounds like Everett Ross is working with T'Challa. Probably what happened is there was some like tech stolen from Wakanda, all
which
vibranium
is what
Claw based.
Is great at.
He's great at that's what he's always doing in the comics. So my guess is that Claw steals some vibranium based tech, and T'Challa's like, "Oh hell no, we got to get that back." And Ross is like, "Well, I'm the co-executive lead of this task force. Let's go get it." You know. So
and they cut into the briefcase. The Cure plays. Ant-Man fights in the briefcase.
Yep.
It's all tied together.
It's all tied.
Right
and
back.
It's all connected.
And that's how it works. Shared universe.
And Daredevil's in there.
It's pretty exciting.
Sure.
Confirmed.
Daredevil's
Mackie confirms Mackie, Daredevil
Daredevil's
is
in the
Black
briefcase.
Panther.
Yep.
He's also in the briefcase.
He's also in the briefcase.
Every time I think that it can't be more awesome with like Black Panther, then something else happens.
Yeah. It sounds amazing. Anything that we talked about that you want to talk about?
I think that covers everything that I was going to do. I mean, they visited the art department. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that they there were some special things that they were talking about with that. Like Michael B. Jordan's character, his preferred weapon is a spear knife. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah, cool.
Yes, I like this. There was a lot of tribal music. And that there were different masks that they were doing. And in particular, there was an ape mask replete with terrifying teeth, porcupine-like quills. And I was like, oh, it becomes so real. And in my mind movie.
You think that's M'Baku?
I think that's M'Baku. Oh, so cool. In my mind movie, this is like, oh my God. This is the best thing ever. I'm almost terrified for whoever I'm dating at that time. Because, but like, guess what? We're going to see this 5 times.
Well, if you and I are dating, I'll go see it 5 times with you. I'll be married, though, so we
Brittany.
Won't be.
Don't tell Brittany. I'm going to marry Brittany. I think she's awesome.
I don't blame you. I would marry Brittany.
She's an awesome person.
I would marry Brittany again. She's amazing. All right, Thanos. The only thing that I've heard about him is that he looked badass, that he had the Infinity Gauntlet, and there was a destruction all behind him as he smiled.
Was it filled that or unfilled?
Familiar.
Was what filled?
The gauntlet. Was it filled or unfilled? Because we know he puts it on unfilled.
Filled. But this is all concept art. So, okay. Like, this is... And one of the things that they said to reporters is that a lot of times they use this art to kind of help show the talent that they're courting to come on board. Like, this is what could happen. This is what it's going to kind of look like. This is what we're thinking. But then they bring the talent on and the talent's like, actually, it doesn't make sense for him to have all five, like, all six... Stones, let's what if he only gets like 4 of them?
Your wife's in the live chat.
What is she saying?
Hey, Brittany.
What is she saying?
She said, what did Matt just say?
Is it bad that I admit it? I love my wife?
I mean, she might have been talking about the dating Markeia from Black Panther release.
So, Brittany, I'm just saying I'll treat you right.
If you've ever wondered what it looked like to see a man be on the couch in the internet, this is how it happens.
Like, my spectrum is straight right now, but for you, darling.
Oh, wow. Captain Marvel showed some concept art of her as well. That has not been released. No one knows what she's going to look like except for the people that saw her and the people that work at Marvel. This is not that concept art. This is just really great art from an artist named Boss Logic online. He does a lot of this concept arting. Arting. That's the word. That's the verb. Arting. She looked badass. Apparently, she has kind of a little bit more of an armor sort of look to the costume, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, less spandex, more armor.
Yeah.
Well, I love how they redesigned her costume, even the most recent one. It looks like something you'd wear as a uniform. It looks more uniform, like because she's a captain.
Yeah, she's a captain. Then also, she was possibly, and this came from Nerdist, we have to give credit to those guys over there, she's possibly fighting a Kree sentry. Like, a lot of the other websites were like, she's fighting a weird robot thing. But Dan Casey was like, that's probably a Kree Sentry, which makes total sense because that's who she would fight. And the Kree Sentry, if you don't know, is those were giant, like world-destroying robots that were left behind by the Kree when they were kind of like forging their empire. And when they came to Earth and created the Inhumans, they left a Kree Sentry here to watch over it. And then Mar-Vell shows up and he's watching the Earth because they've heard reports that maybe the Earthlings are advancing and they might become a threat. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, the Fantastic Four are like, what's up, bitches? We the Fantastic Four. And the Kree Sentry wakes up and he's like, this is a threat. We must destroy this planet. And then Mar-Vell's like, don't do that.
Excited would you be if Captain Marvel brings us Fantastic Four?
Ooh, it's not going to happen.
Did everybody feel that at the same time?
Yeah, where it's like, imagine.
You just say the name Fantastic Four and then there's all this hope. Ooh. And then there's also like...
It's almost like the team represents hope and family and love and not darkness.
So
techno
weird.
Problems.
All right, we got to move on because we only got 11 minutes left.
Yes.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, we saw concept art for both Hope Van Dyne and Janet. They were all very, like in Wasp armor, they were very quick to say, well, no, this is... Also from the first film, like, that doesn't mean that Janet Van Dyne is in it, but come on.
Yeah.
Janet Van Dyne is in this movie. This entire film is a rescue mission to go to the Quantum Realm and find Janet Van Dyne and save her because we all know she can survive, and that's what's going to happen.
It's going to be great.
they showed that. Peyton Reed also promises that we'll see a lot of Ant-Man and Giant-Man action in the sequel, so we'll see a lot of, like... He's a tiny little guy, and he runs over here. Now he's a giant! Smash, 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 and now he's a tiny guy. If we can see Wasp doing the same thing, that will be... Like, if I could see the Wasp as Giant Wasp and flying with her little wings and she looks like a 747, I'll be happy.
I didn't know how much I cared about size movies until Ant-Man. Like, I didn't know how exciting that would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I was like, oh, it's small, that's exciting. And then when the Civil War, that moment, like, I'm now way more excited for Ant-Man, too.
Yeah, I think we have to give a lot of credit to Edgar Wright, who showed...
Mm-hmm.
He was the first one to really do that test footage and show... This is actually pretty badass.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Everyone go see Baby Driver twice to thank Edgar Wright.
Oh, man, yeah. I want to go see that movie. Can't wait. Is that out? It's not out yet.
No.
Right?
Okay.
Now I have to rewatch that fight sequence in Civil War.
Oh, so
now I have to
rewatch
it.
So good. Oh. That whole airport thing.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok, they went and spoke with Taika Waititi, who is apparently one of the nicest men in Hollywood, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he is playing Korg.
That's amazing.
Yes. The Cronin. The Carl. Rock Cronin.
You remember him from, was it Dark World? Well, the beginning of
that
Dark
wasn't,
World?
That wasn't no, that Korg. Was... That was a Cronin. That was someone else of his Korg? Race. That wasn't Korg.
Oh.
So the Cronins are a race of aliens who are all rock-like and look basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
So Korg is one of those aliens. Cronins. Mm. But Thor did decimate one of them with Mjolnir. Then he shows up on the on Sakaar and thrown in prison with one. And he's like, ooh, hey. Apparently, the dialogue there that's really funny. I didn't write it down here, but it's pretty funny. Thor's like, what? How did you get here? He's like, I tried to start a revolution. Didn't make enough pamphlets. Ended up here, you know. So now I'm trying to start another revolution. Get out of here, you know. But you can join it if you want. And then Thor's like, no, I'm going to kill the champion. And he's like, you can't do that. No one's killed him, ever. He can't be killed.
You've got a surprisingly good Kiwi accent.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel good, because I get made fun of for everything else.
The Kiwi's the secret. Kiwi.
Yeah, I'm just channeling Rhys Darby, really. So, that happens. Also, Papa Meek is there. And Meek never talks. He is insectoid, and by some accounts, he drives, like, he controls a weird exoskeleton bug suit. But he never talks, and I think that's kind of fun. Dude, it's going to be so wacky. Yeah. Also, Waititi referred to Goldblum's Grandmaster as running a contest of champions.
Oh, okay. We got an official. Ooh. That's exciting. I mean, it's all but been said, but now it's been said.
Yes, so, and we know John Cena's in there somewhere.
Yeah, he's the champion of Earth, and I swear to God, I swear to God, they will announce him as John Cena, and he will enter the ring and fight as John Cena.
But will they play his theme music, though?
I bet they have to. If they do it, they have to.
John Cena, and then they just cut to an empty stadium because we can't see him.
Oh, my God.
So,
either that or like a pan over.
So real quick, just to finish it all up, Spider-Man Homecoming, there wasn't a lot that they really talked about that we haven't already seen in the trailers too much, but they did say, or Roth was telling me, that they saw more of Donald Glover, but, you know, there's nothing new to report. I was just like, oh, yeah. so he's in it more than just, like, standing by the Tinkerer.
We
okay, guess that's good. Over. That's good.
We,
cool.
We guessed that already.
Also, just announced today, Spider-Man is confirmed to appear in the untitled Avengers 4 and a Spider-Man sequel. We already kind of guessed that, but now it's 100% confirmed from Feige. All right, we've got to move on. Marvel shoutouts. Let's do it. Oh, you got this under control?
I do. Okay, here we go. Let's just get to that. Yes. Okay, yes. Shout out to Rebroken Flores at JLF _89. Media Shock at Media Shock UK. Daniel Drew again at
Daniel
Jedi
Drew
Tide
wants
Saiyan.
His shout outs.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He's amazing.
He's a good guy.
Always chatting. So,
and to
Mama Jandro.
Yes. Okay. So questions. Best comics to read for Legion. This is from Stephen Middleton at Stephen O. Middleton.
Oh,
love
man.
The show
X-Men.
And love to read more into the character.
X-Men Legacy 1-24. X-Men Legacy 1-24. If you're a comic fan, if you're an X-Men fan, if you know how to read. Read it.
It is legitimately good.
It's one of the best comics of all time.
It's legitimately really good. I don't know if it's one of the best of all time, but it's legitimately very good.
Top 500 best comics of all time.
Wow. That's a bold
top 500. What are the other 499, Koi? Go.
Please hold.
Elton Arthur at Elton _I67. Do you think the Punisher could join the Defenders, and what do you think the four credit scenes would be?
What the four credit scenes could be for Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, he doesn't say Guardians. He just says, what do you think the four credit scenes?
I assume he's implying Guardians.
We'll just do Guardians because
we know that there's four to five of those. So we're going to go with Guardians on that.
Okay.
Punisher joining the Defenders is possible. I've also heard rumors that he's fighting the Defenders.
So remember, he's doing what he thinks is good.
So apparently Marvel Comics is doing a Punisher versus Defenders. And some people are wondering, are they setting that up for him to fight the Defenders or to be on the wrong side of it for a while? Possibly, I mean, I don't know.
Could be a mini boss that then ends up, you know, flipping.
Yeah,
that's a possibility.
I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that he'll probably stay a good guy. I'm sure that he'll show up in the Defenders at some point. He'll probably have an episode or two where he kind of helps them in some way, and they don't like his methods. So
bound to happen.
I can see that.
As for the four credit scenes, I don't know. I would
maybe an Avengers-esque one.
Yeah,
but
some
instead
point
of
Infinity War,
instead of eating shawarma, I don't know what would they eat. Would they be in a It'd be somewhere else. They're on the restaurant at the other end of the galaxy. Uh-huh.
They could be at that the Stakar's bar. They all go to the, what was it, the Iron Lotus, I think is what they called it. The Iron Lotus or something like that in the quote. Yeah, they all go there.
And they go there for ramen. So there you go.
Space ramen.
That's one of the
questions. Space ramen.
Space ramen.
The fact that there's four actually throws me off more. Like, you know what I mean? Because one or two, I could be like, oh, this is... But the fact that there's four is banana sandwich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to see James Gunn set up the rest of the cosmic universe with it. As we reported earlier, like, he's doing a lot of the... He's partial... One of the main architects behind the future of, like, Phase 4's cosmic universe. I would love to see him set something up with that.
The fact that the Marvel Universe and Guardians feel separate, I love. So I love that they might do separate Guardians, and then the four credit scenes are how it ties together. Mm-hmm. That keeps its own little bubble well. So I could see them setting up something for Thor, logically.
Yeah.
Something for Avengers, logically. Maybe whoever, Michael Rosenbaum and Stallone, a scene for them, because they're so important. Mm-hmm. And then the last one... A jokey thing, something full tilt boogie, like something like the Howard the Duck thing.
You know what? Like they're roller skating. They roller skate in a roller skating rink.
Like just something that's so outlandish.
Going off of what you're saying with Stallone, I would love to see like a Ravagers, like Stallone as the Ravagers doing like something what I was saying.
Yeah,
earlier.
Like something like
that would be cool. Like I would love to see something like that.
And scene five is of course the Fantastic Four being announced. I mean,
So Ravagers eating shawarma and be like, not as good as Taron.
Yes, that would be amazing. And of course, Stan Lee is the Watcher. I would love to see that. So,
okay, so sounding the Nigel at Dreammaker 84. When will Doctor Strange 2 be announced?
Comic Con. Right. I don't know. I'm guessing. Yeah. Probably so, though. I mean, they're going to do a Doctor Strange 2. Like, it did really well. Like, we know they're going to do it. It's they're phase two. It'll be a phase 4 film. So, yeah.
Matt's been writing it since he was 4.
Yep. Yep. That's why it's in phase 4.
It's been in his mind moving. The Lonely Wakandan at Lonely Wakandan. Do you think we'll see more Thanos going forward in the MCU now that Josh Brolin is also playing Cable?
Depends on what happens in Infinity War.
I don't think it's going to affect anything.
It's basically a voiceover role. It's really
It's really a question of is the fourth Avengers film related to Infinity War? If so, we'll probably see Thanos in both films, and that'll be it.
And they wouldn't have signed up for anything that would cause a conflict. Like, there's no way he's going to be like, I forgot I was busy playing Thanos.
Yeah.
Like, he's obviously this is going to be set up. And he's doing mocap and the voice, and he'll have time.
Yeah. And the two studios aren't so much at odds that going to be like, I better choose one.
Resident number 44877 at Lefty Twilight. Which upcoming Marvel property are you hoping most gets an after credit scene in Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Infinity War, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, or Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
I would love to see Captain Marvel. I want to see that in action.
I think that would work.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
I don't think Black Panther needs an after credit scene for Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's just too much. Yeah. It's too separate.
I don't feel like Captain Marvel should be introduced in an after credit scene. I think she's too important.
I agree with that. I guarantee you we'll see an Infinity War.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't see the Guardians landing on Earth, similar to what they did in Ant-Man with the end where they had, like, the Civil War, like, that actual scene from the movie, I bet we see something like that. Like, the very first time the Guardians land on Earth, I bet we see that.
I bet Iron Man
is there to greet them.
I would love a little bit scene where it's like a Cosmo and Howard the Duck together. They obviously just had an adventure.
Oh, my God. That would be the best.
Okay, so comments. Right,
moving on.
I don't know. Mask of Shy Giotto. These guys really have to read the last great Avengers comics. They are so fun. Thanks. We'll try to read that. Charis Croft at Charis Croft. Oh, this is good news. Had a crappy day, and it deserves that capital C, and I need cheering up. And they were talking about the show that we cheered them up.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
Glad to cheer you up. And welcome. And then Langley.
Langley, you agree with me.
That's right.
Langley, agree with me.
Yes. 10 movies slate too long.
At Langley M. Neely. So mad I miss Mama Gendro. Live on Marvel Movie News. Mama and Graham are the best.
Aww. Thanks, man.
We loved having them.
They were great.
Adorable. They had so many stories about Koi afterwards. I mean, just ask Stephanie.
You guys think I talk about being naked now?
All right, we got to wrap it up. We got like 1 minute left.
Yes.
My name is Matt Key. I'm at the Matt Key. You can see me on Screen Junkies from time to time. And I'm also on the Wednesday Club over at Geek and Sundry's Twitch channel. And that's me. Go!
I'm Markeia McCarty. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty. I'm on Screen Junkies also every now and again. Mm-hmm. And catch me on Raw on AfterBuzz TV, and that's Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Let's talk some wrestling.
Boom. Cool.
I'm Coy at COYJANDREAU. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at those letters. And I also am doing the fan fights for the first time on this Sunday. And then I'm also might be doing some more movie fighting soon. You'll keep an ear out for that. And I just did the Schmodown, and the Schmoes were awesome to me, and they are great. And I love you guys, and I'll see you next week.
Ollie.
I'm Oliver Drennan. You can find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And I am cast officially as Blankety Blank, guys.
Yeah, you're here first. That's Blankety Blank. That's Marvel Movie News. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.